Tiger Bomb Sports Audio Entertainment presents The Process. Welcome back to your home for football and fantasy football, where we learn, scout, win, and repeat. Time to continue the process. I'm your host, it's your boy, Ralph Lark. Welcome back. Obviously, guys, we had to wrap up the Super Bowl with my thoughts about the game. So one last podcast of the season coming to you. Hopefully everybody's been doing well. We're getting ready for baseball season, basketball. We're at the All-Star weekend. We're going to talk about that a little bit. But now that everybody's had a chance to step back from the big game a little bit, we will put some final thoughts on the action that we saw in the Super Bowl just a couple weeks ago. But I hope it was a great experience for everybody, whoever you watched it with, your family, your friends, whatever y'all did, get crazy drunk or just chill at home. It was a good game. It was a fun watch. And I'll just kind of break that down today. And just like we've been doing the past couple of episodes, we're going to have a little potpourri. So a little bit of some other stuff that we usually don't talk about here. We're going to talk NBA. We're going to talk XFL. We're going to talk about the Daytona 500 and why that's not a joke, and why we really are going to talk about it for a couple of minutes. But so a lot of stuff for you here as we wrap up the process for this second season of the podcast. I hope you've enjoyed it. I hope you've learned something. I hope you won. If you won, that's the big thing. That's what we're looking for here. And if you did win, you should tell somebody else about this podcast so next season they can, you know, try to get their win on too. If you want to let them know, here, there's a couple of different ways you guys can catch us, listen to us, interact with us. www.tigerbombsae.com. You can go to the website, the Tiger Bomb website. You can click on The Process. Our page is there. You'll see all the information, all the podcasts. This podcast is going to be up by the time you hear this. And during the season, there's other things there, rankings for the week, stats, stuff like that. So a very good resource. Very good resource. So the webpage is a great way to find us. And as we wind down and other podcasts like the Heart of the Order for Baseball take off, that's another way you can find those too. So check that out. Now, if you're a podcast person on the go, you want to listen at work, while you're jogging, whatever, cutting up some meat, I don't know what you do in your spare time, but I do know this. You can find us on Spotify, iTunes. You can find us on iHeartRadio, Stitcher, anywhere that you do your podcast listening. All you have to do is type in Tiger Bomb Sports Audio Entertainment and boom, the podcast will appear just like that. You should like and subscribe. Show us that love. But this way you won't miss any new episodes. And if you're a social media person, you know we have you covered too, of course, right? Facebook, the Twitter. However, you need to contact us. It's at The Process, TBSAE. Get at me. Funny memes, all that good stuff. That's what those pages are for. Information, maybe a little stats. We have a trade go down. We talk about why it's good, why it's bad, whatever. So just hit us there if you want to. And of course, you can email me here, theprocess@tigerbombsae.com if you need to email me something. Those are the ways to get in contact with us. That's the way that you want to tell somebody else about us. All right, so at that, we just have a pretty simple show. The Super Bowl review, and before the Super Bowl review, we're going to do everybody's favorite segment, and that's going to be how we kind of take this extended look at all these other topics we're going to cover. So, yeah, we'll use that overall arching theme today of just housekeeping in general. So it's going to be a couple of different segments, right? Like I said, the XFL, the NBA, we do some NASCAR. That'll be our housekeeping. So it's going to be real long, but we'll break it up into segments. We'll get to some Super Bowl and we'll get you out of here. And that's going to be our final episode of The Process. So at that, let's get to the other football. Housekeeping, me Fluff Pillow, me fix your team. Now that the NFL is winding down, the XFL is winding up, Vince McMahon is taking his second go-round at football. Same name, same brand, the XFL, but this time they've taken a little bit of a different approach to it. It's not so much of the pyro and the sex appeal, but now focused on the football. So, you know, they can stay around for a couple of different reasons. The first being they do, it's not like the AFL where it's just, you know, lesser skilled football players playing the exact same game. What the XFL provides is the opportunity to see a little bit different football. It's not conventional football. The kickoff looks different. The rules are different. So because of the different rules and because of the variations on the game, like the 1 foot inbounds instead of two, like in the NFL, they play by the college rule, if you will. These are the things that make it just some compelling reasons why it could stay around. Another reason the XFL can stay around is publicity. This thing is everywhere. They're marketing it well. There are apps, they have partnerships with other websites like DraftKings and FanDuel. There's clear visibility into it. They have a fantasy aspect to it, which will definitely add to the popularity. The fantasy experts are, you know, have included it in their content as well. So just another reason, the publicity. I don't remember seeing an app for the AFL. They had money issues, right? Which leads to my other reason that the XFL can stay around. They're not gonna have money reasons. Vince McMahon is the money behind this idea. So he's got deep pockets. They're not running out of town in the middle of the season because they can't make payroll, right? If, you know, this isn't gonna work, he will pull the plug on it himself at the end of the season. So a lot of things can make this popular. Some of the, you know, players and coaches and personnel that were at the AFL have migrated over too. So this is great. You want to set yourself up to be a feeder league. If I can't get in the NFL, but I'm done with college, I can go here. I can try to get that second look here. I can earn that second look here, right? You want to be a feeder into these camp programs, you know, for these teams in the NFL. So there's a lane for them. It's pretty cool. It's not the same, but it's not too far different. And we'll just have to see if it can hang around. We'll have to see if people keep going to the games, which could be a problem. And we'll have to see if people keep watching. But the fantasy value and the marketing put behind it are certainly compelling reasons for you to stay interested. So it does have that going for it. But so far, so good from the XFL. I really held back on talking about it because wanted to see how it got out of the gates there, and not even going to say, you know, it's going to be a success or it's going to be a failure. But what I will say is I understand the ploy now. I understand how it's different from the AFL. I understand what the intrinsic value of it is and what it is that they think that they can do in the market space for football. So that, you know, that all being said, we'll have to see where they take it from here. Well, you heard the lady, so we'll keep it moving along. Wouldn't want to upset anyone. So NBA All-Star Weekend is upon us, and it is in Chicago. Alas, I am in Los Angeles, but this weekend of celebration is in Chicago. They are, of course, paying homage to one great lost Californian, one great lost Angelino, that is Kobe Bryant, but a great weekend for the NBA in Chicago. A little cold, but it will do. It's one of the best all-star weekends, breaks, clashes, whatever, of any of the major sports. It's better than the NHL. It's better than the Pro Bowl. It's better than MLB All-Star Weekend because there's a lot going on. There's the celebrity game, just because of the aspects of basketball. It makes it much more easier and appealing for them to participate. The celebrities are there for their game. There's the rookie game, so you get the, you know, the sophomores and the rookies. You know, then you have the skills competition. There's something going on, and those skills competitions, those mean something in the NBA. The three-point contest is a very valued part of the weekend, as well as the dunk contest with very valuable history. The other sports don't have those commodities. When you talk about their sports all-star experience. So this is the premier all-star experience of major sports in the United States, ladies and gentlemen. So it's a really important weekend as teams position themselves for the playoff run here in the NBA. It's been a great season so far. You know, Ja has been awesome. Ja Morant has been awesome to watch. That's been the big thing for me. Bam has been great too. Bam Adebayo. I'm sorry. I'm always going to mess that up. But Bam's been great to watch too. I've been enjoying Miami Heat as a whole. So I like the underdog. I like the surprise aspect. There's just been so much fun basketball to watch. Luka has been amazing. You could keep going on and on. I love the Lakers. I'm in LA, so I love what the Lakers are doing. It's just been a lot of fun. And this is a nice break. It's always like a come together celebratory type of a weekend in terms of the NBA. So we'll just say, you know, everybody be safe. Keep it safe. Have fun in Chicago. We got company. Don't show out. We know how y'all like to do. So I'll leave it at that. But as I said, there should be a huge Kobe vibe to this weekend. David Stern also, they plan to honor him with the black strips on the jerseys. The All-Star Game MVP Award has been renamed the Kobe Bryant MVP Award. So that is a huge honor for Kobe moving forward in the annals of the NBA All-Star Weekend forever and ever. And so be it. That's a great honor. And he so rightfully deserves it as we commemorate him all together with his passing not too long ago with his daughter Gianna. So the Elam ending to the basketball game in the fourth quarter to 24 points first team. There's some confusing rules, but you can reference that if you want to look it up. I'm not going to try to, you know, get scientific with you here. Team LeBron, they're going to wear number twos for Gigi, and you know, Team Giannis, they're going to wear number 24s for the Black Mamba himself. So that's their plan, to honor the Mamba and the Mamba Sita, if you will. You know, before we wrap up our talk about this NBA weekend, and of course, wish to all the players a great and exciting weekend and good luck. I want to talk a little bit about Spencer Dinwiddie, this smart man, and his contract. Not going to get too technical, but here's the gist of it. This NBA player, and he tried to do this last season and they rejected the deal. And I think he went back and reworked on it, comes back and he says, hey, I've got it figured out a way that this works so it doesn't violate the collective bargaining agreement. And it adheres to the rules and regulations set forth by the SEC and Securities Exchange Commission. So again, Spencer Dinwiddie is selling digital shares of his contract. He has a 3-year, $34.36 million contract. So his plan is to sell 90 shares valued at $150,000 a piece. 90 securities-backed tokens. They're called $SDA coins. Now, here's why he can do it. He can get $13.5 million of his contract up front as a business loan. Okay? How's that? So he's kind of investing in himself to get this money right away. Each token will be a tradable offer, or I'm sorry, will be a tradable after a year and pay out 4.95% interest monthly. This is via his paycheck, with full payout in 2023, a year after his current deal with the Nets expires. So wanted to point that out as well, because it's always the enterprising person, that thing we never heard of, that points towards the future. And this is a really dynamic, a really interesting way to try to capitalize on yourself and take advantage of the opportunity that you can bring through your play in your game, and your fans can get more involved with you too. You're now invested in that person, right? They're going for a long, you know, some term they're using for some of this is real fantasy sports now. Now I'm getting involved, right? Like I'm literally purchasing shares of this player. It's really exciting stuff. Let's keep an eye on it, but let's give him props for pursuing this and bringing this to the table and, you know, making it whatever it needed to be for him to be able to do this. It's a very cool thing. Don't know if many people know about it, but start to read up on it, because the future is upon us, as it would seem. But hopefully you now know about it. Spencer Dinwiddie is the name. But that's our NBA look at the All-Star weekend. So we look forward to the game. It's going to be on TNT, of course, tomorrow, so you can check that out and look at all the various other activities that are going on tonight. I've had it in the background. I mean, check it out, guys. It's a cool weekend, so you want to get involved in that experience while you have the opportunity. Housekeeping for you. To end our final housekeeping segment of the season, we're going to talk about a little bit of NASCAR. That's for real. That is for real. It's really nothing but Chevys and Fords and sometimes some Toyotas running around. It used to be Dodges, but some with regulations. Anyways, listen. I know it looks like just going in a circle, but long story short, here's what we're talking about. There is strategy. Certain tracks run different from other tracks. Your car runs different based on how the track runs. You got to figure out if your car is going to run better higher on the track or lower on the track. This has to do with how your car reacts to how that part of the track is reacting with the sun at that point, or if there is no sun, right? You got to worry about your tires. You got to worry about your gas. You got to go in when it's the appropriate time to change those things. If you're out there with teammates, this drafting. If you're out there without teammates, you may be facing somebody who has teammates. Now you're going up against somebody. You're trying to out-battle somebody who's getting a push from somebody else. The aerodynamics of those two cars hugging up against one another, pushing him down the stretch, could pass you. There's a lot going on. There's strategy. There's a lot more than people want to let on. All of this matters. All of this matters. And the Daytona 500 is the biggest of all of these races. They start the year off with the biggest race, even though it's a series, right? You win the championship at the end. This is the big one right here. So it's a very, very big weekend, big kickoff weekend, and then they get going with the whole slate and season. But for our purposes, DraftKings, FanDuel, you can try to clean up on this stuff a little bit. And there's going to be less people playing. So what I want to do is just talk to you about some things that you can, some players that will make your life easy if you want to try to put some money into this. I've been watching a little bit of this for a couple of years. So it's not just a, you know, some Johnny come lately. And what we can do is take advantage of some of these players that have some soft salaries, because you got to understand the way it works. You're going to pick a team of players or team of drivers, right? And they accumulate points during the race. And so you're just trying to have the highest point total from your team at the end of the contest, right? That is one way you can do it. Or they have some contests where it's like all teams cash a percentage of this pot if you get over like the score of 290. Right, so there's a couple different ways you can play in NASCAR. But if your driver doesn't finish a wreck, which can happen at the end of races, because they're always dicey at the end of the race. By the way, if you don't like it or you never watched it, don't watch the whole race. All you really need is the last 50 laps, or really just the last 15, and you'll see some really interesting stuff. The last 20 laps is pretty cool. But yeah, that's, you know, some stuff that you want to consider. DNFs, they call them, did not finish. That will mess you up. You get points for, you know, going up the leaderboard. So we always want to signify where we see a real good driver who had to start low for a different reason. Maybe his car had bad qualifying. Maybe his car got blown out of qualifying. Now they're on the backup car, but, you know, the qualifying got blown. So now they're back in 28th, right? But everybody knows he's not the 28th best car out there, right? So we want to take advantage of stuff like that. Soft pricing. We want to take advantage of that where we have a good player in a good position. So when we think about the big race coming up, I got a couple of different players that I'm not going to tell you how to line up, you know, roll, but I want to just throw some stuff at you for each site. So for DraftKings, think about David Reagan starting 30th, $5,200. He's averaging 15.2 fantasy points per race, but he's got one top 10 finish, 38 races. He's pretty consistent. He's not so new anymore. And just at that salary break, you can afford some really big dogs at the top. So, and just, you know, similar concept with him. Think about Ty Dillon, who's 24th. We like that these are better drivers than where they're starting. And so if they can just do a little work and move up, you get points off of that. So we like their position. We like where they are. I don't think they're going to stay back there. 5,700 is a great price. Ty Dillon's averaging 28.4 fantasy points per race, and he's got 5 top 10 finishes in 38 races. So, you know, again, this is consistency. We can look forward to him, you know, being at the end of the race. Newman, Chris Buescher, Austin Dillon, all starting too high to really go off on points, even though they're all really well priced. I don't think they have anywhere to go but back, right? So I don't really want to invest in that because there's only so much I can get from that. Ryan Blaney, though, 27th. He's $9,300, and he's got fantasy points per race. He's at 37.2. He's got 20 top 10s in 39 races. Blaney is another guy who can move up the pack. He's well-priced at 9,300. He can lead some laps in this race. He could potentially, you know, in the pit situations, he could walk away leading 30 laps in this race. And so we get bonus points for leading the race as well. Kyle Busch, 28th. Kyle Busch is seeking the Holy Grail. He's never won the Daytona 500. He's a very accomplished driver. He's got a little bit of a mean streak. He'll drive hard if you don't know anything about him. He's got a brother, Kurt, so don't pick Kurt by accident. Kurt's decent. Kurt's pretty good, but I think Kyle's a little better. But anyways, Kyle is seeking his Daytona 500 win. And 28th is where he's going to start. So, you know, I haven't looked into it. I was trying to see if there was something going on with his car or something like that, but that Kyle's gonna move up. He's not staying in 28th. So at $9,800, nothing but money there. He's averaging 61.7 fantasy points per race. Yep, 61.7, 28 top 10s in 39 races. So yeah, we want Kyle based off what he did last year. We want Kyle for sure. And then look, Denny Hamlin, 21st. He's looking for his third Daytona 500 win. Denny's won this a couple times. Not many people can put together multiple 500 wins, but Denny's been able to do it. He's starting 21st, so at 10-4, he's a good price. 49.4 fantasy points per race. He's got 25 top 10s, so we like him. Logano, Harvick, and Truex, all good enough from where they are starting to get up front and run all day. So even though they're starting 3rd, 10th, and 15th respectively, there's still some value there. Now, if we just go look at FanDuel real quick, David Reagan, again, 30th. He's a starting point, 4K, and at 32.5 fantasy points per race on FanDuel. So interesting. Ty Dillon, 24th, 4K again, averaging 38 fantasy points a race. And then Clint Bowyer, here's where we get a little different here, 9K, starting 29th, averaging 38.5 fantasy points per race. Very good value here. We have to be interested in here. This is how you'll get different. Chase Elliott, 25th. 12-2. That price may scare some people off, but Chase Elliott at 25th, he can move up that pack. He's averaging 36.7 fantasy points per race. We think he can do it. And of course, Kyle Busch here too. 14K, most expensive driver on the day, but at 28th, and that drive and that determination trying to win one of these 500s, averaging 27.15 fantasy points per race, I think that's a good buy too. So those are just some things that you want to consider. And if you've never tried to watch it before, just give it a shot, man. It's going to be a little bit more interesting than you think, and don't be weirded out when you hear all the people going, "Woo!" That's just NASCAR, baby. Well, y'all, finally here. Let's get on to my review of the Super Bowl, which is going to be our last thing we do here this season on the process. We were down in Miami. This stadium really is much more better for like the Super Bowl than it is as a home stadium for Miami. In my personal opinion, they should build something else smaller for the Dolphins and much more like down by Miami Beach. Make it much more of a club scene if that's what you want to do, but make it much more open and lifelike and lively. And put it down by the water or something like that. And then just keep this, right? This can pay for itself in other ways. Keep this, move soccer out there, have your concerts, all that stuff. Do that. It's a good venue for certain things. It's not for Miami Dolphins football, but it was a great host for the Super Bowl. 20-31, the Chiefs took it. We did pick the Chiefs here. A couple things we want to talk about here. San Francisco, the game plan, running the ball versus passing. You know, they, you know, only 14 attempts for Coleman. They did not, or Mostert, they did not come out and execute the game plan that had got them there all year, that they've been doing all year, and that has been working all year. There's a lot of throwing. And, of course, nobody's complaining when Jimmy G's making his throws here and there and when they're scoring the touchdown, the use check and whatnot, but that's not what got you there. Why not dance with the girl you brought to the prom? Why would you go looking for something else then? I felt that that was not opportune, and I felt that, you know, this was Kyle Shanahan maybe overthinking it a little bit. This is the second Super Bowl where you kind of got outclassed a little bit, okay? Because we're talking about he was the coordinator for the Atlanta Falcons when they blew it, the 28-3 halftime lead against the New England Patriots, and we were tied at half here, but he was up going into the fourth quarter, 20-10 here. So you were leading 20-10. San Francisco was up to start the fourth with Mahomes throwing that interception. You guys were supposed to go put a nail in the coffin. Eric keeps saying, you know, what about that play? You know, oh, if they would have hit that play, you know, the long pass to Emmanuel Sanders. I'm so tired of hearing that. If woulda, coulda. There was no pass interference or nothing like that. He just overthrew him because the rush was getting there, which means that the play was just better performed by Kansas City. I don't want to hear about your only defenses. Oh, if they would have hit this imaginary play that they didn't hit. Like, no, that's not a thing. We can only talk about what actually happened. Nobody wants to talk about the other downs in that series where they should have ran the football. Like, they should have been running all day. There is no way you can't, even if they commit to guys in the box and they look like they want to stop you on the ground, you got to force their hand. And San Francisco didn't do that. They did not do that. The way your defense plays is particularly bruising in combination with the way your offense plays. And so when you don't play the way that you should offensively, you're not supporting your defense. You're not having their back the way that you asked them to have your back. And I don't know if he's considered that or thought about that, but it certainly is true. So they didn't execute what brought them to the dance is what I saw out there. And I don't really care what the reasons are. You have to run the football aggressively because that's what they've been doing all year. And Kansas City was more committed to run than they were. Kansas City got good run out of Damian Williams in this game. Kansas City used that 1947 Rose Bowl play at the goal line to set up the Mahomes run. That's what I'm talking about, the Damian Williams run. Did you guys see that? It wasn't just a straight ahead goal line dive. Right before they hiked the ball, everybody audibled, and a couple of the linemen and Mahomes, they like spun in place and moved over a spot, so Mahomes is no longer right by the center. He's over by the right guard. Yeah, then they hiked the ball. It was a direct snap then, right? So if you didn't really catch all that, go back and look at it. It was a very great play. Like I said, play goes back to the 1947 Rose Bowl. Phenomenal play. Phenomenal play. Great call. But yeah, just, you know, they were more committed to running the football. Where's Kansas City go from here? This is a great win for them. Great win for Andy Reid. Blah, 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 blah. Where they go from here? The way the NFL is set up, you can't win repeatedly over and over. That's a very difficult thing to do unless you're Tom Brady and the New England Patriots. So what you do, you could try, though. They got good players. They got a great quarterback. They got a great offensive coach. They're going to try. But the problem is, you know, they did overpay some players to make sure that they were covered, you know, where they needed to be in the playoffs. They can't support those salaries for as long as you would like as fans. So that's when this thing starts to break apart, is they'll have to look at guys that they, you know, they become most immediately, I think, a version of the 2019 version of themselves, the 2018 version of themselves, as opposed to the 2019 version that just won the Super Bowl. That's what I think happens because of salary reasons. We started to saw a slide, right, where you are coasting more. It becomes more like what we have set up with Russell Wilson, where we're coasting off of our quarterback's brilliance because they're going to have to pay him and they're not going to be able to pay a lot of other people is where that's going. So we'll start all that process. But when you have a ring, you know, you've given the fans that thing that we're all chasing, you know. So you have to, you can't win forever. You got to protect the franchise at some point. And for them, you know, they're just hoping that if they can probably save a buck or two, this is going to be in combination to the bump that you get from winning the Super Bowl. It comes the next season. It's not during that year when you're winning because you haven't won yet. It's the next year. That's when the jersey sales go up. That's when the ticket sales go up because you guys have won already, right? Because people, they want to pay now because y'all are the champs, right? So that's just a little bit of psychology in terms of how they make those decisions and how that stuff goes down. So that's a little bit of where they go. I don't see them bringing in any better players or getting better. I guess what I'm saying is they get a little worse from here, but with who they have, that still may be enough. We'll have to see. That still may be enough. San Francisco, where do they go from here? This is a tough division. Last year, Rams in the Super Bowl. This year, 49ers in the Super Bowl. Next year, I'm calling it. Seattle Seahawks are going to be right there. Tough division. For them, it's going to be all about Pete Carroll last, you know, mount up. We're ready to break this thing apart if we don't win. They're going to have everything. I think they make a little bit of a splash this offseason. Try to bring in some of those missing pieces and get there. For San Francisco, it's going to be hard to get back. It's going to be very hard to get back. And the NFL, we know they'll catch up to you. So for Kyle Shanahan, we hope it's another brilliant year. But there's also the, you know, the idea that maybe, you know, they start to catch up to him a little bit. Everybody gets caught up to. So we'll have to see if they can offensively keep up what they're doing. But they're also going to have to spread the ball a little bit more out offensively and not rely so much on the run if that's what they want to do down the stretch. If you want to be a full run team, then guess what? When you get to the big game, you got to keep doing that then. But they got to keep everybody intact. Don't let Sulla go anywhere, all that stuff. They're always hurrying coaches off to be head coaches way too soon before they've got their experience. So the worst thing that could happen is he gets a head coach job or something stupid like that. Everybody needs to stay at home. You got to replace Richard Sherman. He could move into the slot or something, but he can't be the second starting corner there. He can't be the starting corner. You have to replace him. So you have to do something. Trade him, restructure him, get that money away, do something. If you could eat the money and it's not a problem, pick up somebody else then and move him in, like I said. But you can't have him playing that position. Get burned badly early in the game. Of course, they recover later on. But that's what they can do to make sure that they are better. Because the Rams will be better. And I'm telling you, the Seahawks will be better too. Do I really care about what happened with J-Lo and Shakira and the way they were dressed and shaking their butts and all that stuff? Well, let me ask you this. I don't really watch it, but from what I could tell, it just seemed like they were dressed like that show Dancing with the Stars. I don't watch it. It looked like what I see when I see the little reviews for that show. I don't think we need to, well, let me say it like this. Pick your battles. Life's tough, right? Anyways, that's the Super Bowl. That was the big game. It was a very exciting one. Congratulations to the Kansas City Chiefs. And we'll look forward to seeing if they can repeat next year. It has been an awesome season. Thank you so much if you're listening to this. If your voice is hearing my voice, thank you. I appreciate you. I'm sending you good vibes for rocking with me. I'm sending you good vibes for whatever you have going on. I'm covering you in that spatial area. But thank you, everybody. The process. These episodes at the end here, not representative of what we do normally. Go back and listen to week 4, week 5, week 6, week 7. You can see that regular format because I want you guys to understand. I mean this when I say this. I think I give out some of the best free information that you're going to find out there in terms of getting you ready to crush the fantasy football season. And this podcast is a representation of that to the fullest. If I am not adhering to that, I have told you how to get in contact with me. I would love your input as to how I can make it be that for you if it's not already. If it is, tell somebody else. Can we do that? All right, cool. Thank you guys so much. Remember, as always, this is your home for football and fantasy football, where we learn, scout, win, and repeat. Until next season, when we continue the process. Peace out. The process is brought to you by Tiger Bomb Sports Audio Entertainment, LLC.